Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this day, this beautiful Lord's Day, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like to share a couple of announcements with you, just to remind everyone that there will be a spring tea gathering for all the the women. All women are invited to that gathering. It's going to be on April 9th at 12:30 p.m. So please make note of that. There'll be items collected during that gathering. You see a list of those items on the back of your bulletin. Diapers and laundry detergent and other items for families. So again, also a time, there'll be a time of devotions and brief business meeting will be held, and there'll also be a presenter. So please make note of that. Again, that's going to be on April the 9th at 12:30 p.m. Also, just to remind folks that we'll be gathering after worship this today to do a little bit of officers training. So those who are elders and also deacons can be a part of that. That's going to be after worship, immediately after worship this Sunday, and we'll be over in the chapel. So that's after worship today. There's other things, of course, going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church, and please take the time to not only read your bulletin, but go to our webpage and our Facebook page to stay abreast of everything that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Before we dismiss the children, I just wanted to say one thing that I had forgotten earlier. This is a special day for a couple of our members, Marjorie, our musician, and Larry Cummings are celebrating their 18 years of marriage today. They were married 18 years ago, actually on February the 21st. So we give God thanks for bringing them together. We give God thanks for sustaining their marriage, and we give God thanks for their presence here in our midst. So at this time, the children are now dismissed.
Our New Testament reading our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 11 and verse 15. Hear the word of God. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him, and he cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud, so the Egyptians heard it, and the household of the Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And how do you not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here? For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all the house and ruler over all of Egypt. Make haste and go to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. For you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that I have. And there I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty." And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, beginning with verse 27 and reading through verse 38. It is on page 895 of your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along that way. Let us listen to God's word for us. "But I say to you that here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Kind brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps you think that my job is an easy one, that all I have to do is stand before you and talk, stand before you and expound on the words of Scripture. But I can assure you this morning that Jesus doesn't make it easy for any of us preachers. Indeed, Jesus often says things and does things that make it impossible to craft nice, feel-good, practical sermons. In fact, Jesus often says some of the craziest things, some things that just seem totally crazy. Last week in our reading from Luke's gospel, we heard Jesus say something totally countercultural to our ways of understanding and thinking. We heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the rich, blessed are not the rich and the fool and the happy," which is the way we kind of look at the world when we see people who are rich and full and sated and seemingly happy. We think that those are the people who are blessed, and we kind of want to be like that. But no, we heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor and the hungry and the despised." And I intentionally last week downplayed that text because it's kind of hard to make sense out of it. But no sooner do we get that text in the rearview mirror that the lectionary gives us this reading also from Luke, where Jesus says something even more radical, even more countercultural, something that goes against all of our natural inclinations. Jesus says, "Love your enemies." That sounds crazy to me. I mean, how in the world am I supposed to stand up here in front of all of you this morning, stand up here in the midst of a tribalistic, increasingly polarized, divided world where the whole idea seems to be to find someone to hate, and say, love your enemies? It's hard enough for us preachers, of course, to preach loving your neighbors without making people mad. Often when we talk about loving your neighbors or love in general, some people get a little upset about that. But now Jesus says, not only should we love our neighbors, but he says, love our enemies as well. And I want to say, are you sure about that, Jesus? Enemies? That's a little bit more difficult to spin, loving enemies. But that's what Jesus says, love your enemies. Of course, we're reminded that Jesus wasn't talking to everyone. He was talking to those who hear, to those who listen to him. That's what he says, to those who hear. He was talking to people like you and me. We are the people who take the time to hear Jesus. We are the people who take the time to listen to Jesus. That's why we're here this morning, to hear what Jesus had to say. And Jesus knew that all of the people who were listening to him had enemies. People who didn't like them, people who despised them, people who sought to do them harm, you know, enemies. I suspect maybe all of us might have an enemy or two, or perhaps we had an enemy or two. But that's what Jesus says, love enemies. The people in Jesus' day, of course, were not terribly different from the people of our day. They were divided. There were factions. There were people who didn't see eye to eye with each other. You had Pharisees, this group of Pharisees that didn't like that group of Pharisees. You had Pharisees that didn't like Sadducees. You had people who didn't like anybody. They just went out there out in the desert and decided that they didn't want to deal with anybody. You had people who believed that they could overthrow their enemies through violence. You had all kinds of people who looked at the world in different kinds of ways, and sometimes they hated each other. And of course, all of them had a common enemy, the Roman Empire that was occupying their land. I'm sure they all had stories where they were being humiliated, stories where they were being mistreated, stories that fueled their anger and their resentment and their hatred. In fact, that's what most of the people were hoping for. They were hoping for a leader. They were hoping for a king, a Messiah, an anointed one who would come and deal with their enemies. And word had it that maybe this Jesus fellow was the anointed one. Maybe he was the one who was going to come and get rid of their enemies, overthrow their enemies. And so they gathered around him. They gathered to listen to him. And Jesus stands before them. And they're waiting to hear what he says. And Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Love your enemies. And I bet there were people in the crowd saying, what in the world? Did he say what I think he said about love, about loving enemies? Certainly he didn't mean that. Love our enemies. That's what Jesus says, love your enemies. Can you imagine anyone today anyone in our day running for office, whether it's dog catcher or president of the United States, and they had the temerity to stand before us and say, here's my program, this is what we ought to do. My program, what I intend to do, is to love our enemies, whoever our enemies might be today, the Chinese, the Russians, the Islamists, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Libs, the Wingnuts, whoever our enemies may be, the people on the other side of that contentious issue that we've invested so much in, we're going to love our enemies. You know what we would do with that person? We'd crucify. And yet that's what Jesus says, love your enemies. James Howell says that today we're not only proud of our rage, but we often feel entitled to it. Our anger and maybe even our hatred feels like righteousness, like righteous indignation. I've got nothing against righteous indignation, but very often our indignation fuels our anger and resentment and hatred towards others. Seems like every time I tune into some kind of social media, someone is being told that they have done something that fuels people's anger. And we feel self-righteous in our anger and indignation. It reveals how far we have strayed from the ways of God. Howell says that our political ideologies have become our idols in this day and age. They've become false gods. They're the things that we really believe in, and they induce fear and anger and hatred because they're the real things that we believe in. Most people spend more time on watching CNN or Fox News than they do reading their Bible. Most people spend more time being catechized by social media than they do in coming to church. And maybe that's a good thing, because the pulpit itself, many, many churches have become vehicles for hatred, for hate talk, for hate and dislike of enemies. I was watching a sermon the other day. It was 45 minutes of a preacher haranguing about people who believe differently than what he believed. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies, even your enemies. Can you hear him this morning saying that? Love your enemies. Turn off CNN. Turn off Fox News, turn off preachers of hate, and listen to what Jesus is saying. Love your enemies. And let's be clear what Jesus means when he says love your enemies. The Greek has several words for love. We all know that. There's philia, which is a kind of brotherly love. We know that living here in Philadelphia. There's eros, which is a kind of romantic love. Then there's the kind of love that a parent has for children. But the Greek word that is used in our text this morning is the word agape. I like saying that word. I learned that word when I was a teenager in the 70s. In the 70s, that word was everywhere. People were talking about agape, agape love, agape. But agape love is the kind of love that the Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, when he says that love is patient, love is kind, Love is not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not resentful. That's agape love. Agape love is a kind of divine love. It's a kind of unconditional love. It's a love that wants nothing but the best for the beloved. It's the kind of love that God loved all of us with. And Jesus says this morning that that's the kind of love that we ought to have for even our enemies. I want to say, really, Jesus? Love our enemies? Love people who want to hurt me? Really? Tell that to the mother in Georgia, sitting in a Georgia courtroom watching the three men on trial for murdering her son. Ma'am, we feel your pain, but love your enemies. Tell that to the president of Ukraine right now, who is now watching Russian troops massing on his border. Mr. President, we share your concern, but if the Russians invade, don't resist, but love your enemies. Tell that to anyone who's been abused, who's been betrayed, who's been mistreated, who's been stabbed in the back. Tell that to anyone who has felt the hurt that someone has subjected them to, that they are to love their enemies. And see what kind of reception you get. That's what Jesus says, if we take the time to listen to him, to love your enemies. The Greek word translated enemy means those we hate. And there are some people out there who are just kind of easy to hate. I know there are people that I find easy to, I was going to say dislike, but let's admit it, easy to hate. There's some people who do, in my opinion, despicable things, some people who do things that just make them easy to hate. But Jesus says, love your enemies. About 3 years ago, I received a letter in the mail. I noticed that it was coming from a prison. When I opened it up, it was a handwritten letter on yellow legal pad. And the woman who was writing was indeed in prison. And she alluded to the crimes that she had been imprisoned for. And I recognized the crime because it was in the news here in Philadelphia. And as I was reading it and did a Google search on the crimes, I was just filled with revulsion for this woman. The crimes were heinous crimes. She had actually kidnapped several people, senior citizens, kept them chained in a basement, and exploited them by using their Social Security cards and getting their Social Security benefits. But she chained these people in a basement in some of the most filthy and inhumane conditions. One of the people later died. They were all elderly. One of them was mentally challenged. but she felt those were the people that were easiest to take advantage of and abuse. But this woman was a con person. She was a horrible person. And as I read the letter, I was just filled with all kinds of antipathy towards her. In fact, I don't think I even wrote her back. I was so angry over the crimes that she had committed. And yet Jesus says that we are to love even people like that. We are to love our enemies. I confess I don't know how to do that. I don't even know how to begin to do that. Probably to follow Jesus' advice by praying for them. I think when we pray for people, we might find the power stirring up in us to begin to forgive. I think if we pray for people, we can perhaps begin to have some empathy, to make some connection with their humanity. But I admit it's difficult to do, to love enemies. I was discussing this text with some pastor friends of mine, and we were trying to figure out a way to make what Jesus was saying here make sense. You know, we kept going over this text with one another, and someone said, if we love our enemies, you know, maybe we can win our enemies over. If we love our enemies, maybe our enemies will end up loving us back. And maybe I've known instances where love does win some people over. But Jesus doesn't say that in our text this morning. Jesus doesn't say if we love our enemies that our enemies will be overcome by love and they will love us back. In fact, sometimes the more you love people, the more they abuse and misuse. Somebody said, well, maybe if we turn the other cheek, you know, maybe that shames people. They said, you know, the turning the other cheek didn't mean in the ancient world what it means today. Turning the other cheek was actually a way of shaming someone. And so it was a way of shaming people. Same with giving your shirt. If someone asks for your coat or takes your coat, give them your shirt, and that's supposed to shame them. Well, I would hope that would be the case. I would hope it would be the case that if we turn the other cheek, we could shame people. That if someone takes from us and we give them our shirt, that would shame them. But Jesus doesn't say that in our text this morning. He doesn't say that, you know, if we turn the other cheek, the whole point is to shame them and maybe win them over. Sometimes to turn the other cheek and to give them your shirt just invites more abuse. Someone said, well, if you're merciful, maybe it's about being merciful. If you're merciful and you show mercy, maybe you can impress upon that person the importance of showing mercy, and maybe they'll show some mercy in their life. But Jesus doesn't say that either. He doesn't say that we should be merciful to people because it's a way of helping others to be merciful. Jesus simply says, love your enemies. You're to love your enemies not because it's a strategy to win them over. You're to love your enemies not because it's a strategy to make them better people. You are to love your enemies simply because that's the way that God has treated all of us. God has loved each and every one of us, including our enemies. Indeed, it's the Apostle Paul who says that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, God loved us enough to give his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if we love our enemies, we are acting like God. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point about loving our enemies, not because it's any kind of strategy, not because it has any kind of efficacy in allowing us to control how people might act, but because in loving our enemies, we become transformed. We become more and more like God, God's self. But here's where I think faith comes in. I think when we love our enemies, when we are bearing witness to who God is in the midst of the world, when we refuse to retaliate on in the terms of the world, when we refuse violence for violence, when we refuse to get even, when we refuse to seek vengeance, that we are trusting that God is moving and acting in our world, just as God was moving and acting in the story from Genesis that Bill read, the story of Joseph. In the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all the brutality in our world, in the midst of all the injustice, in the midst of all the violence that is done to us, the brutality that is done to us, the mistreatment that is done to us, God is still moving in ways that we cannot even begin to fathom. And moving in ways that will eventually bring about good. Good for ourselves. Good for our enemies. And good for the whole world. I confess to you this morning that I don't understand this passage. I don't understand a lot of what Jesus is trying to say here. Can't readily pin it down or explain it in ways that make sense to me. All I can do is listen to Jesus. All I can do is hear what he's trying to say. And what he's saying is that we are called to love even our enemies. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in a world where it has become fashionable today to express our anger and our hatred towards others, in a world where we are invited to participate in the festivals of fear and hatred and vitriol, in a world where we derive our identities often through the people that we hate, you have called us to love our enemies. You have called us to move from a world of hatred and fear and anger towards a world of love that even includes our enemies. Lord, we ask that you help us, your people. Help us to be the agents of love that you have called us to be, so that our world, the whole world, including our enemies, might experience the love that you have for all of us. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.